It's time to turn to the WUKY Sports page with your host, Keith Elkins, revealing conversations and stories you thought you knew from prominent Kentucky sports figures. Now, here once again is Keith Elkins.
Paul Andrews is with us today, a former Wildcat who played for Joe Hall and Eddie Sutton in the mid-1980s. Paul is currently the CEO of the Brook Hospitals, two facilities in Louisville. He has been in that position since 2009, has more than 30 years' experience in behavioral health, held a variety of positions over that period of time, including CEO of two facilities in Jacksonville, Florida, before he returned to Kentucky. And Paul is from London, Kentucky, where many will remember that he lived out the dream of millions of kids. He hit a shot from midcourt to win the state championship for his high school team, the Laurel County Cardinals, back in 1982. And we'll talk with him about all of those things. First of all, Paul, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. I truly appreciate the invite.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, before we get into reminiscing a little bit about basketball, about your current job. Everybody's life has changed to some extent over the last couple of months, dealing with COVID-19 and the coronavirus, and you're leading two hospitals. How has your approach to leadership of those hospitals changed, and what kind of issues are you dealing with?
Well, you know, it has changed quite a bit, and I think with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's really made everybody rethink how you do business. And, you know, I have two facilities here in Louisville. One facility is a 110-bed hospital, and I have another facility that's an 88-bed facility. And we treat children all the way up to the geriatric population. So, you know, one of the things that's a challenge is, you know, you're having to really do a lot of screen with patients that are coming in, and you're just trying to focus on the safety and the health of your patients as well as your employees. And so our big focus has been in those areas and just ensuring that someone that comes in to our facilities for treatment, that we're protecting them and trying to reduce the level of exposure as possible. And we're doing a lot of things that we normally would not have done in the past just to ensure that. And I'm very proud of my team. I've got a really strong medical staff, clinical staff, and all the way down to individuals that work in our kitchen and our housekeeping department. They're all essential workers and doing a wonderful job. It has been a challenging time for everybody.
Yeah, this is where really everybody's almost a frontline employee in a facility. Yes. Like the two that you are in charge of there. And I guess you're continually learning as well, you and your team who are deciding what practices to put in place at this time. There's new information, it seems, to those of us just consuming the news. There's new information just about every day. So you really have to stay on top of things, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're every day we're reviewing all the CDC guidelines, and we're watching the governor's, you know, we religiously watch his press conference and look at the governor's orders, and we're following all those guidelines. And again, like you said, it changes almost every day. And so when things change, we make adjustments to how we're doing business, just again to ensure that our employees and our patients are healthy and safe.
Well, we'll come back to your career in healthcare in just a bit, but want to get back to your background in London now. If you'd tell us about your interest in sports when you were growing up. You were probably a very active young man, I would imagine, with interest in sports, and basketball eventually took center stage for you. But tell me about your interest at the youth level.
Well, you know, I was always involved in either basketball or baseball, played football and Little League football as well. But, you know, I come from a family that has a history of sports. I have an uncle that played high school basketball. I was a really pretty strong high school basketball player. I was recruited. I played at Union College. I was actually named after him. His name was Paul Andrews as well. I remember my dad used to save all of his clippings, and every now and then I'd sneak and I'd pull them out and just start looking at them. And I became very interested in basketball. But I will tell you that probably baseball was my first interest. And And I ended up playing Little League baseball, ended up all the way to Senior League baseball, and started out in high school playing baseball as well. But I decided after my sophomore year in high school that I was wanting to focus on basketball. So I kind of put the bat aside and just started really, really focused on my basketball career. But, you know, I started at a young age. I remember taking a basketball out, and there'd be 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, and outside shooting baskets, couldn't see the rim.
Uh-huh.
Ball wouldn't bounce, but I was always out shooting.
Did you have some favorite players at that time that you either tried to model yourself after, or just that you enjoyed following their careers?
Oh yeah, I was a Julius Erving, Dr. J, a wannabe. You know, every time the 76ers played, I was in front of the TV, and from the pro level, that was one of my idols. I also really enjoyed watching Oscar Robertson. I really enjoyed the way he played basketball as well. And then, of course, growing up in the state of Kentucky, you always are watching the University of Kentucky. And I was no different. I had this dream of one day playing college basketball, and I was hoping that it would be at the University of Kentucky. And I was just very fortunate that I was put in a few situations that a lot of people would love to have been put in, and was able to get some exposure being from a small community of London. And, I had a really outstanding coach, high school coach, and Chuck Broughton that, he saw something to me early on, and he stuck with me, and I learned a lot under him. One of the assistant coaches who I played with from the eighth grade all the way up, he was a head coach of mine on my freshman team, and then he was assistant for the my sophomore, junior, and senior year, and that was Larry Bruner. And those individuals were strong mentors for me, and they just put a lot of faith in me and saw something that in me that they thought would be special, and I just had to put the work in.
You mentioned, of course, being from Kentucky. You followed the University of Kentucky, but where you were located there in London, as far as media was concerned, there was also a lot of attention focused on the University of Tennessee. I would assume you had the access to Knoxville TV in London. Was there some interest there as far as maybe following the Bernie and Ernie show was going on while you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely. And I grew up, we didn't have cable when I was growing up. So most of our regular stations came out of Knoxville. So I did grow up watching the Bernie and Ernie show. And, I became a big Tennessee fan as well. Right. And, when I was being recruited, I actually narrowed my choices down and made official visits to, Tennessee as well. I went to Auburn. I went to Virginia Tech. I went to Purdue. And, and I actually came close to committing to Tennessee. I went there and really enjoyed the campus and loved. I think when I visited, it was Bear Bryant's last football game in Neyland Stadium, and got to see the Alabama and the Tennessee game. But I fell in love with the atmosphere and came very close to committing to Tennessee. But, my heart and my love was always with Kentucky basketball.
Well, let's talk about that 1981-82 season, junior year at Laurel County. Of course, this was long before the split to North Laurel and South Laurel. It was Laurel County High School, and you had a great run through the tournament leading up to that championship game. But your team just about got derailed a couple of times because you had some really close games in the state tournament leading up to the championship game, close ones against Valley and then against Virgie. Two real tough games for you.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that tournament was we knew it was going to be a challenge, and we had made it to the state tournament the year before, my sophomore year, and we came up a little short, got beat the first game by Mayfield High School, and they had a really strong team. We had everybody pretty much coming back from that from that year. And we said we wanted to get back into the tournament and just try to do better than we did the year before. And we knew we had a much better team than we showed my sophomore year. And all throughout that, my junior year, we were always ranked in the top 10. And then we had a pretty tough schedule, and we played some really tough teams. And early on, we were able to get an invitation to the Louisville Invitational Tournament, and we played some teams that were very tough, including Mel High School, which at the time had Winston Bennett, who was a teammate of mine at Kentucky.
Sure.
We ended up beating them, I believe, in the semifinals of the LIT and Freedom Hall, and we played in the championship game, which we played against North Hardin High School. So, the two top tournaments at the time in the state was the Louisville Invitational and the state tournament. So North Hardin actually beat us in that that game, and it was the finals of the LIT, I think by about 10 points. And they had an outstanding team, we did not know that eventually we would turn around and meet them again for the state championship. So it was we played some really outstanding teams that year. Virgie High School, we played in the semifinals of the state tournament, with Todd May, and Todd was probably one of the best players that I played against in high school, and that was a challenge for us. And we ended up winning that game. I believe I hit a free throw to win that game. Then we played in our first game of the tournament. We played Jeffersontown High School, which they had Todd Ziegler, who was turned out to be another teammate of mine at the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Eventually, and they had an outstanding team as well. And then we ended up beating Owensboro High School, which was another outstanding team. So I felt like it was a really good tournament, and we played well. We had a team that had played together for years and years and years, starting out in sixth grade all the way up to high school, and we just constantly played together, and I think that's what made us so good. We were definitely a team.
That final game then, you faced North Hardin again. As you mentioned, you'd seen them earlier in the year, and they came out on top that time, and you got down, I believe, 9 early in that championship game. So this was to a team you had lost to earlier, but it sounds like from what you're talking about with your teammates that you never lost confidence. It was just a matter of battling back, but you did have to do some battling back.
Oh, absolutely. And, all year, there were times when we'd get down, but we always had in the back of our minds that we were always going to be right there at the end of the game, and no matter what situation we were in. And, we were a team that had those spurts, and we'd have those runs, and we'd go on 9, 10, 15-point runs always, and we knew that at some point it would come. With North Hardin, with Robbie Valentine, he ended up playing at Louisville, and then they had Brett Burrows, who was 6'10", and I was one of the tallest players on our team. I think we had Joe Carr, who was about 6'4", but we were a very small team, and they were pretty North Hardin was pretty big, so we knew that we were in for a battle, but if we could stay close at the end of the game, we thought we had a chance, and so that was our goal. But when we got down by about 9 or 10, we never did lose confidence, and our coach, Coach Martin, just kept telling us, we're going to win this game.
And it did come down to being very close at the end, so set up the final shot situation for us, the score and the situation in the game, and how everything transpired there with you hitting the winning shot.
Okay. Well, we actually had the ball, and we were on our end, and we were kind of setting up for a last-second shot, and unfortunately, we had a turnover, and we lost the ball out of bounds right in front of our bench, and so there was a timeout, and so North Hardin had the ball right in front of our bench, and they had to go the length of the floor in order to score, and one of the plays that they ran against us at the end of the first half in the Louisville Invitation Tournament was a play that they tried to run against us at that time. They lined up Brett Burrows, who was 6'10", and, of course, one of their tallest players, and again, we were a very short team, And they were just planning on throwing the ball down, let Brett jump up, gather the ball, and just turn around and shoot a jump shot. And we lined a player up in front of him this time, and then I lined up behind him. And so when they threw the ball in bounds, they overthrew it. And so the smart thing for me to have done was just to let the ball go out of bounds. And we would have had the ball out in front of our bench with a better chance for a good shot. And so instincts took over, and I grabbed the ball and took three or four dribbles and just let it go. And, you know, it's one of those things where when it left my hand, I thought, okay, you know, we're going into overtime. You know, I thought it had a chance as it got closer to the rim, but still had no idea that it was going to go in. And it's just one of those things that every kid out there dreams of hitting a last-second shot, maybe not a half-court shot, to win some type of game. But I was very fortunate to be in the right situation, the right spot, to be able to do it for the state championship.
Yeah, and I think your coach, Coach Broughton, said later that he was already going for his clipboard to get ready for the overtime, too, when you launched the shot. But in it went, and the celebration began. And I guess, in a way, it's never really ended, because when you're from a fairly small town, as you are, then a state championship team is just legendary. And to have it end like that, you and your teammates are going to be remembered for a long, long time. But in particular that year, of course, you'd went back and had a celebration, a parade. That had to be the thrill, I guess, just continued from Rupp Arena on toward the celebration in London eventually.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I will tell you that the city of London was just wonderful. And, you know, there's such a strong basketball tradition in London and Laurel County in general. And you know, the success of the girls' basketball team, mm-hmm. I think at that time they had already won three state championships. It may have been four. But Coach Roy Boylan had done an excellent job with the girls' team there. And you know, we wanted our shot as well. And again, we had a wonderful team. My teammates that year with Joe Carr, Norm Bowling, Jamie Maxey, Till Bruner, you know, Charlie Andrews, my cousin, Robbie Hatcher. We had a lot of players that have played together for a long time. You know, I knew exactly the move that Joe was going to make before he made it. I knew exactly what Norm Bowling was going to do before he even grabbed the basketball. So that's how close we were. And I think a lot of it was because we had played together for so long. You know, we just played together, and you know, we were not going to let anything get in the way of us trying to win a state championship, and we were very fortunate. And the city of London, that being the first state basketball championship for boys, was great. And the celebration we had was second to none. And of course, South Laurel has now won a championship there. So we've now got at that high school, we've got two state championships.
Well, after your senior year, the following year, of course, then you moved on to the University of Kentucky to continue your basketball career and begin college studies. And 83-84, you really walked in with a veteran team waiting for you. Your teammates, people like Sam Bowie and Melvin Turpin and Kenny Walker and Jim Master and Dickie Beal. How did you fit in? It had to be, I would think, at least somewhat overwhelming to just get started at UK, but to get started and have all those guys coming back and high expectations for the team, what was that like for you?
Well, it was a challenge. And, you know, these are guys that I looked up to, and now I'm suiting up with them and playing with them, and knowing going into that year that we were going to be, you know, ranked in most cases number one. You know, we had Sam coming back from his injury and had been out for a few years. So we had Melvin Turpin returning, and so that was the year of the Twin Towers, and of course Kenny Walker, and you know, Dickie Beal was coming off an injury, but he was back, and Jim Master, and it was we had some really strong senior leadership, and I was very fortunate. The freshmen coming in that year, it was a little intimidating for us just because of the talent that we had, and there were times I'm thinking, you know, where do I fit in here? Mm-hmm. But you know, you're looking at the freshmen coming in. that year with James Blackman, you know, Winston Bennett, myself were the three freshmen coming in. And we actually had another freshman that had signed with Kentucky that year, Vince Sanford out of Lafayette High School, who ended up transferring before the season even started. I think he transferred to South Florida. But so that those were the freshmen that were coming in that year. But we were coming into a very talented team. And my go was if I was going to get on the floor and get any minutes, it was going to be on the defensive end. And, you know, I remember Coach Hall sitting down with me and saying, you know, we think you can be a great defensive player. We think you can be a great shooter. We want you to focus on defense. And so the times I was able to get into the game that year was for defense.
That team, of course, went to the Final Four. Tell me about your memory of the Final Four. Of course, it didn't go the way you wanted it to go, but still, you're part of an experience that most college players can only dream of.
Yeah, you know, for me, having the opportunity to win a state championship and take it to the Final Four with an opportunity to win a NCAA championship was a dream, and that's a dream of any kid. But just to have the opportunity to play in the Final Four was unbelievable. It was a great experience. We played out in Seattle, Washington, and the Kingdome, and just the whole atmosphere was just incredible. And you know, playing against Georgetown University and Patrick Ewing, and that was a wonderful team. And you know, we actually should have won that game. And you know, we were ahead at halftime, right, feeling good about the game, and things just kind of fell apart in the second half. But taking nothing away from Georgetown, they were a great team. But you know, I still truly feel like that Kentucky team, in my opinion, was one of the most talented teams that we've had. I mean, with Sam Bowie, you think of Sam Bowie, Melvin Turpin, Kenny Walker, and Dickie Bill, Jim Master. That was a very talented team.
And when people talk about the second half of the Georgetown game, everybody that is associated with the team or attended the game, it just remains a mystery almost what happened. And people will say, usually they start their answer with, "I really don't know what happened in the second half."
I agree. It we don't know. I mean, we were in a locker room and we felt good about where we were at, and then we just came out and we just couldn't hit. And I can't remember exactly what we shot the second half. It's something like 18% from the field or something like that. But it was like we were in a twilight zone, and we couldn't figure out what was going on.
Then 84-85, you're coming back. Now you've got a year of experience under your belt. You know a little bit more about what to expect to being a college player. There had to be a great lift in confidence, I would think, in coming back in that second year. Is that true?
That was true. And, you know, my sophomore year, we lost some really strong seniors from the team before, the Final Four team, but I did have it was a great opportunity for me to get some minutes. And you know, in the beginning of the season, I was able, I think I started several games during the year. And you know, we had a good team, but it was a rebuilding year for us. And you know, we had some great freshmen coming in that year with Ed Davender and Richard Madison, Cedric Jenkins. I think Todd Ziegler came in that year, Robert Locke. But it was a rebuilding year for us. And of course, Kenny, that was Kenny Walker's kind of breakout year that year. And we actually, you know, we didn't have a strong year, but we did make the tournament. And we were shipped out west, and we played out in Utah and played some really strong teams. I think University of Washington. We ended up making it to Denver, and we played against St. John's with Chris Mullen and Walter Glass Walter Berry, I'm sorry, and I think Mark Jackson. So we made it all the way to, I think we were either two games away from the Final Four, which would have put us back in Lexington. So we, even though we had didn't have a strong year during the year, we did pretty well in the tournament. And of course, that was the year that that Coach Hall had retired at the end of the season.
Right, and after the loss to St. John's, after, as you said, a very strong showing in the NCAA tournament with the Final Four being played in Lexington that year, but I remember seeing all the reporters gathered around Coach Hall as he was doing his post-game radio show. And, of course, he did announce that he was retiring. So that made it a pretty eventful first 2 years for you as a player.
Yes, it did.
A trip to the Final Four in your freshman year, and the coach retires after your sophomore season. So you're halfway through your college career. You're going to get a new coach in the next year. What was going through your mind at that time?
Well, you know, we just didn't know, you know, what to expect, and we did not know that Coach Hall was going to announce his retirement. And I remember being in the locker room, I remember someone saying that he was out doing his radio show, but he was going to announce he was retiring. And so I think we were all pretty stunned. And then, of course, we started talking about, well, who was going to be the next coach. And so for us, we all heard that it was going to be Luke Olsen coming in as our new coach, and that didn't work out. And then eventually it was announced that Coach Sutton was going to be coming in. And I have to say, I really enjoyed Coach Sutton. I enjoyed his type style of basketball. There was a lot of changes that next year. You're talking about switching over from Converse was a big one to Nike. And you know, we had a lot of things that were adjustments for the team that we had not had in prior years.
That first year for Coach Sutton turned out to be a very successful team, one of the most entertaining teams in recent Kentucky history. They, I think, won 16 of the last 17 regular season games. What made that team so good?
I think it was because we took it as a challenge. We had a new coach coming in. We knew that we were a talented team. We knew that Kenny Walker was an All-American. You know, I think it was we were excited to have a new offense. We were excited that, you know, it was an opportunity for players to really just kind of let loose and just play. And everybody just played well together. Roger Harden did an outstanding job of quarterbacking the team. And, you know, he made sure that everybody was where they needed to be. And, you know, Winston Bennett had another really strong year as well. And I think Ed Davender moved into the starting position as the point guard and did an outstanding job. And we just played well together. And, you know, that team was fun. I mean, we enjoyed playing together. We enjoyed the success that we had. And unfortunately, it's kind of tough to play a team four times and beat them four times. Mm-hmm. So we were in a very tough situation in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, and it turned out the 2-point loss to LSU ended the season after you'd beaten them three times earlier in the year, and that resulted in an alteration of how brackets are planned so that that kind of thing doesn't happen now. But it did happen in 1986. That team finished 32-4. That's a terrific season.
And it was fun.
Being a reserve as you were for most of your career, I mean, everybody wants to play, but when you're coming off the bench, you got to be ready to play as soon as they call for you to be in the ball game. Everybody comes out and warms up at the same time, but then if you go to the bench, you've just been on the bench for a few minutes. I've always admired players who could be productive off the bench. How did you try to approach that in getting in the game? You're maybe a little bit cold because you haven't been out there on the floor for a little while. How did you approach it?
Yeah, that was a challenge, but especially when you're coming out of high school and you're hard and you're used to being on the floor all the time. But, you know, the talented players that I played with were just outstanding. And I knew that I was going to have my times and I was going to have my moments, but, you know, I was going to be a reserve. And I accepted that. So, you know, when I came out, I had the mentality that I was going to be ready to play. And the coaches kept emphasizing, if you're a reserve and you're coming off the bench, you better be ready to play, because if you're not ready to play, you're not going to stay in long. And you know, I was kind of known for you know, defense and for shooting, and I wanted to make sure when I got into the game, I made the most out of my opportunities. And you know, I focused on taking good shots, and I focused on trying to get myself in a position where I would have a good shot. And my teammates, when I was in the game, they would look for me, because they knew that was a part of my game that we were focused on. So, but it was a challenge. You had to be ready, but you knew that if you were not ready and you've given the opportunity and you were not ready, then you wouldn't be in long. So.
Well, as we move along to your senior year, of course, you've mentioned some of the great players you played with, and they all had their unique characteristics. And then Rex Chapman came along, and he was a recruit who had gathered just a ton of attention coming up through high school and then came to UK. And, of course, he's going to be a dominant force eventually for a team. How did you all adapt to that?
Yeah, we knew Rex coming in. When he announced that he was coming to Kentucky over some of the schools like North Carolina and Louisville, we were excited. And just watching Rex before he got to Kentucky and just seeing the talent level that he had, we knew he was going to be something special. And Rex and I are great friends to this day, and his whole family, his sister Jenny, his parents were great friends. And Rex was always looking to myself that first year, looking to myself and James Blackman and Ed Davender for some leadership. But to be honest with you, I think we were looking to him for some leadership. And he was just an outstanding player. I said, as far as just natural talent, he was second to none. And he was actually my roommate. We had roommates in Lexington, but we also had different roommates on the road when we traveled, and Rex was my roommate on the road, so we became pretty close.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, since you're in the field that you're in now, of course, Rex has been very public about the difficulties that he went through with dependency.
Yes.
Following his NBA career, mm-hmm. And I certainly wouldn't ask you to divulge any private conversations, but in general, did you and he communicate during the time when he was trying to put things back together when he had hit his low point?
Oh, absolutely, and there's no secret. Rex goes out and tells his story. And there's no secret that Rex contacted me and his sister reached out to me, and we were able to get him the help that he needed, and he did spend some time in our facility, and since that time he's been doing great, and he's back in Lexington and doing wonderful and doing some great things for University of Kentucky, and I'm very proud of him. But Rex, he went through a tough period there, but he focused on his recovery, and he's done wonderful.
He has done great, and it's so much fun to hear him on the radio and having fun doing what he's doing and on TV, and he seems to be at a good spot in his life right now, and I'm sure you're very pleased to have had a part in that.
Proud of him.
That was your final year at UK when you were teammates with Rex there, and so you had senior night. Senior night is not the same as it once was, really, because so many of the key players don't play 4 years, but in those days they did. What do you remember about saying farewell to the Rupp Arena fans?
You know, growing up a Kentucky fan and just having to witness senior night and the players and the families and the fans, that was something that I was really, really looking forward to. And it was an opportunity for me to, first of all, say thank you to the fans, but also say thank you to my teammates and say thank you to my parents. And, having your parents out there with you on the floor and having the fans, there to kind of salute you. And at the time when on my senior night, it was, A.B. Happy Chandler, Governor Chandler, was still singing. And that whole atmosphere, it brought you to tears. And James Blackman and I were the two seniors that year. Winston Bennett had a knee injury the year before that. Early in the season, that year at the beginning of the season. And so he redshirted that year. So it was just James and I that were the two seniors. Just that experience, I think about it to this day. And my parents still talk about it. And there is nothing like Kentucky basketball and the support that you feel from the fans, from the coaches, from the media, from your teammates, your family. There's nothing like it. And I would not trade my experience at the University of Kentucky for anything.
And, of course, senior night means you're coming up in just a few weeks after that on the end of your senior year and mm-hmm. time to move on. What were your thoughts at that time? I mean, some guys want to stay in the game through coaching or some other means, or if they can find a place to play, they want to do that. Other guys are ready to take the college degree and move on to the next chapter of your life. Where were you at that point?
Well, I had a degree in public relations and marketing, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do with that. I did have an opportunity to go into coaching. Coach Sutton had a relationship with a coach, I think, at South Southeast Louisiana State, I believe. And so I had that opportunity. But, you know, it wasn't really something that I wanted to do. I really wanted to go into the business world. And my dad spent years and years and years working at Marymount Hospital in London, Kentucky. And I used to go up there. He was the head custodian at the hospital. I used to go there with him all the time on the weekends and just kind of hang out. And I became really interested in hospital work. And I was just very fortunate that I had a mentor of mine that was able to give me an opportunity to go into healthcare. I started out in this field as a sales and marketing representative at actually Charter Ridge Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, and then spent some time at a facility, Lincoln Trail Hospital, which is in Radcliffe, Kentucky, and then was able to go to Jacksonville, Florida to run two sister hospitals there, and then was able to come back to Kentucky. And I've been here in Louisville since 2009, and I'm close to my family. My parents still live down in London. I've got a sister and her family that live in Lexington, so I'm here close to family, and I've got a son that actually just finished up his freshman year at Jacksonville University, where he played football, and it looks like he's going to be transferring back to play football for Eastern Kentucky University. Okay. So, you know, this is home for me, and I'm happy to be home.
You mentioned one stop in there, Radcliffe, Kentucky, which, of course, is the home of North Hardin High School. And so if you spent some time there, I guess I'm sure you still get asked about the shot a lot, but the tone of the conversation is probably a little different in Radcliffe than it is in London, isn't it?
A little bit different. People still ask me, how did you end up in Radcliffe, Kentucky? Yeah. And, you know, but I will tell you, the people of Radcliffe were very open to me, and I enjoyed my time in Radcliffe. I spent almost 10 years at Radcliffe working at the facility there, and you know, I'm good friends with Robbie Valentine to this day, and so you know, we've kind of put that behind us, but people still ask me, how did you end up in Radcliffe, Kentucky?
Paul, tell me about your leadership style. Now, you've been a CEO for some time, and leading people in basketball and is going to be different than obviously leading a hospital. But are there some things that you can take from your basketball experience? And given those things, how would you describe your own leadership style?
Yeah, there are some things that I take from my experience in basketball, and I do utilize them when I am here as the CEO of the hospitals. And I've been very fortunate. I've got a very, very strong leadership team, and you know, I'm not a micromanager at all. You know, I put together a team, and you know, I like to get a lot of feedback, and we make decisions together. And you know, if we make the wrong decision, we change it and we do something different. But I like to get a lot of feedback from my team, and they know that I'm there. I like to lead by example, and you know, if you know, I want to be on the front line with my frontline staff, and I think they respect that. But I've been very fortunate. I've got a very, very strong leadership team at both hospitals, and I've got a leadership team that has a long tenure. So we don't have a lot of members of our leadership team that have left. They've been here for years, and that makes a big difference as well.
And you're still involved in the game. I saw recently you're on the one of the committees or on the board of the NBA Toulouse. It's NBA,
yes.
The number two,
mm-hmm.
LOU. And, of course, that's the Louisville Basketball Investment Group, involving the effort to get NBA basketball to Louisville. Tell me about your duties there, how you're involved.
Well, Steve Higdon, who's the president of that group, and Dan Issel, I'm very, very fortunate. I was asked to go to lunch to meet with the two of them, and they were telling me what they were trying to get accomplished, and they were looking for someone to join the board that can kind of help put them in a situation that when the NBA does – get to the point where they're ready to add a team that Louisville's ready. And so I was very honored to be asked to join that board by Steve and by Dan. And you know, because of the COVID-19 situation, we really haven't had a lot of meetings yet that I've been a part of. But just hearing the focus and their direction, I'm very excited. And I do think that Louisville's going to be positioned very well to receive either an expansion team or, you know, a team that may relocate in the future. And everything that Dan and Steve are doing right now are great, and they're building a strong team that's going to put Louisville right at the top of the list.
Well, it is exciting news, and we wish you great success with that, and also continued success in your position with Brooke Hospitals there. Sounds like you're doing some great work, and we wish you well in that. And thanks for taking time to reminisce with us about some basketball days today, Paul. Pleasure talking to you.
Same here, and thank you again for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Sports Page with Keith Elkins, an exclusive podcast from 91.3 WUKY, produced by Alan Lytle. Our theme music is Peanut Butter and Jam by Illogical Bit, available at soundcloud.com/illogicalbit. Subscribe to The Sports Page through Google Play or at our website, wuky.org.